Welcome to Wistful Thinking. I'm Carrie Gail O'Regan. With me is my co-host, Jordan Poling Clark.
Hi.
And today, we're going to be talking about the classic from 1996, Biodome, starring Pauly Shore and Stephen Baldwin.
I have a problem also, with the word classic.
And also, a very tiny Kylie Minogue. She's so little.
I know. There's like a lot of people in this.
There is.
That are like, what are they doing in this? But like, you know, we're trying to continue on the theme of, what was our theme?
Well, we did Fern Gully last time, so it's like a vaguely environmental theme.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But Biodome, like I said, stars Pauly Shore and Stephen Baldwin as moronic best friends who get themselves locked inside of the Biodome, a science experiment, along with a group of environmental scientists for 1 year. So this is like this like self-contained, multi-zoned, fake ecosystems that they're living inside of as an experiment to learn more about the Earth and how to, I guess, eventually live on an Earth that's full of poison. You know, if we can just build biodomes, we'll be fine. Or we could do it on another planet. Did you know that there was actually a real biodome in Arizona?
I did know that.
Yes. It was called Biosphere 2. I was reading the Wikipedia article before you jumped on the line, and I did not realize something very crazy. So Biosphere 2 had like two runs. The first one was 2 years long, from 1991 to 1993. And then the second time they were going to run the experiment was from March to September of 1994. They actually had to cut the second one short because
two guys broke in and they destroyed the whole thing.
No, not exactly, although that is the plot of the movie Biodome. But in Biosphere 2, on the second one, people from the first mission actually did try and, like, sabotage the second one, but they claim that it wasn't actually sabotage. They were just like really concerned for the safety of the people inside because there was this hostile takeover by none other than Steve Bannon, formerly of the Trump administration.
What?
Who we've come to know.
Why?
And hate. Yeah. So on April 1st, 1994, a severe dispute within the management team. So these are the people outside who are, you know, running this experiment, led to the ousting of the on-site management by federal marshals serving a restraining order. Financier Ed Bass hired Stephen Bannon, then manager of the Bannon & Co., which was an investment banking team from Beverly Hills, to run this space Biosphere Ventures. Some Biospherians and staff were concerned about Bannon, with, of course, good reason, who had previously investigated cost overruns at the site. Two former Biosphere crew members flew back to Arizona to protest the hire and then broke into the compound to warn the current members that Bannon and the new management would jeopardize their safety because they were trying to cut costs and stuff, which could have, like, been, you know, dangerous for the people inside. It just, like, blew my mind when I saw his name come up in this article because I had no idea.
What a world we live in.
What a world indeed.
What even? Okay, so if you're hearing our voices and you're thinking back to 1996 when Biodome came out and you were like 10 or 11 or 8 or 9 and you saw this movie and you thought, huh, funny movie, you're wrong and don't watch it again.
I disagree.
This movie is, I think, is the worst movie we've ever watched for this podcast. And
even worse than King Cole's Party.
It's different than King Cole's Party. Like, that's for what point. King Cole's Party is trying to be, it's fine. For what this is trying to be, it's not fine. And this movie has one of the 10 lowest scores on Rotten Tomatoes. It has some other, like, really incredible, like, it's so bad it gets lumped in with this, but I can't remember what the metric is. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's where it, like, really lost me, though. When Stephen Baldwin bites his own toenail. I was like, I cannot be on board with this movie anymore.
I did have to cover my eyes. That was deeply upsetting.
Yeah, that was the worst part for me, but there was a lot of other bad parts. But you know what is really good in this movie? The shitty punk soundtrack. That was my favorite part.
Yeah. I actually love this movie. I think
Why? Tell me.
it requires two things. One, you need to just open your heart to Pauly Shore.
But
Like,
no. Okay, hold
keep
on.
your heart
Hold on.
open.
Hold on. Because my heart is open to Pauly Shore. Like, this was my idea. But like, and I like I'm always so fascinated when you like these movies because I'm always like, let's do this, whatever movie. And you're like, I can't watch any more dumb white dudes. This is the
Oh no, but I was excited
dumbest
about Biodome.
dumb. No, I know you were. You did go into it with more of an open heart, but like this movie is disgusting. Like there's no reason. Like it's like I'm all for a dumb dude who serves a purpose, like a comical purpose or whatever. But they're just like dumb, rapey, disrespectful, and the women in the movie behave as if that's the hottest thing they've ever seen. Like, I cannot be on board with that. Like, they get into bed with the women scientists while they are sleeping and
Yeah,
touch
well, that
them.
was not okay.
Like, no, thank you. And like, their girlfriends are incredible. Their girlfriends are played by Joey Lauren Adams and some woman whose name I forgot because she's not in a lot of other stuff. But they just they're kind of dumb too. But they have these like gigantic, beautiful hearts, and they're what,
And also they're extremely
and they're
hot.
so hot. When Jo like Joey Lauren, remember the shirt she wore,
The
that
green
the
one?
green one, yeah, with like the big hole in it. Like I want that shirt right now. It's so cute. And like trashy and amazing. It's perfect. And they're just with these dumbass dudes who just like are the worst.
Yeah. Well, all of that is true. But I said that there was two things. One was opening your heart to Pauly Shore. The second thing is being extremely stoned. That is the only way to watch this
I watch
movie.
it sober. I guess I made a mistake.
Nathan Rabin wrote for the AV Club, quote, Biodome opens with a bright, shiny assault of rapid-fire images with an immediate
Oh, I
message.
do like the opening part. That part was good.
Don't watch this film unless you're really, really high. Everything else about the film reinforces this message. Biodome is far too sacred, some might even say religious experience, to be wasted on the sober and lucid. It is an invitation to turn off your brain, preferably with the aid of a mood-altering substance, recalibrate your attention span to non-existent, and give in to your inner moron.
But it wasn't even like I try. Okay, I was not stoned. I was, but I tried to do that. Like I really wanted to be able to do that, and like it was just like it wasn't fun. This movie's not fun.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you had such a bad experience
No,
with it.
I wanted to like it. There was just like too many parts that I was like ew, because like I mean, it just makes me angry that like somebody sat down and wrote this and got paid a lot of money to write it and was like,
Well, a
all of
bunch of
this is a
people did.
very good idea. And like, no, this was never a good idea.
Yeah, it had several writers, I think, which is part of why it's weird and bad, like when too many people work on a script, it loses any sort of cohesion. But yeah, no, I mean, like I said, all of the things you're saying are true. I just feel differently. And so does Stephen Baldwin, who in his memoir claimed that it was part of God's plan for his life for him to ignore the
Oh my
advice of his
God, he's a
managers
nutcase.
and make a movie that was universally panned by the critics. Yes, God wanted me to star in a film about two brainless slackers who spend their days watching television, making out with their girlfriends, and drinking large quantities of various substances. The film was brainless and pointless and hilarious, and God wanted me to make it. I didn't think that at the time, Making Biodome played right into my usual let's have a good time attitude. God had other plans. I just didn't know it at the time.
Okay, yeah.
Oh boy.
Here's why he thinks it's God's plan. Because now, so he got all like born again and religious, cool, whatever. And now people young people come up to him and they're like, "Yo, I love Biodome." And he's like, "Cool, let me tell you about God." Like, basically, he's like, Biodome gets kids to talk to me, and then I tell them about God.
He said, God had me make this film to give me the platform that would later become my life's work. At the time, I just wanted to goof off with Pauly Shore for a couple months. God knew that. And he also knew the plans he had for my life. Plans he made sure came to pass. Oh, boy.
Yeah, no. Stephen Baldwin... Justin Bieber's father-in-law now.
Yeah, he also lives near here. I've seen him at the mall.
He lives in Nyack,
times.
Right?
Yeah. It was like a big local news item when Haley and Justin came to like visit him, and people were like, "Oh my God, Justin Bieber's in Nyack."
Wait, okay, so this is like tangentially related. Can I go off on a thing for a second?
Yeah, I mean,
related.
There's not a lot of stuff to talk about with this.
So
movie,
like,
so.
I googled a little bit about this movie, read a little bit about Stephen Baldwin, and. He just, like, seems awful. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, really nuts. Like, just awful in so many ways.
I think most of the Baldwins
not all of them. So they just did, like, the roast of Alec Baldwin, right? And it's like, are we not past the point of, like, joking about how this man, like, abused his family? Like, his
and
kid...
And his coworkers
his,
and
yeah,
like everyone
like,
he's ever come in contact
kid
with.
His kid is up there joking about it. And it's like...
Oh, boy.
I don't know, like, if that's something you want to do in your own time, but maybe we don't need to, like, commodify that and sell it and, like, act like it's fun, because it's not.
Yeah. Well, I don't like roasts in general. I find them too mean. Don't appreciate it. But this is America, goddammit. If we can commodify something, we're gonna.
It's just like... It's infuriating. Like, I just don't get how it's just so like hypocritical at this point that like complicated, but like there's so like,
well, because people are being held to account for their abusive behavior, and yet
but not everybody
hand, we're celebrating others
yeah exactly
for their abusive behavior yeah
and it's like, you know what, we still love Alec Baldwin because he can make fun of the president better than anyone else. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Which I don't think is true. I don't think his impression is the best one.
No, I agree.
Like, because it's, like, lazy at this point.
Yeah.
All he has to do is, like, show up, you know, and get... And he gets the laugh without really having to really go to town on it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. So, I feel conflicted about the Baldwins in general. Although, I feel like this is a thing that I should hate based on everything that I just said, but, like, I appreciate Stephen Baldwin's, like, supremely 90s style in this movie. His hair is terrible. He wears a puka shell necklace the whole time. It's just, like, it's so awful. It's perfect.
I mean, let's talk about the necklaces. You always say that I, like, notice things in movies that like no one else notices, and it's true, and it's distracting and actually kind of annoying for me. Now that I have a job where I'm selling jewelry, I'm like thinking more about jewelry because I've never worn jewelry before, and I happen to notice while watching this movie that
Billy Baldwin one of them?
He's another one, I think.
Okay.
I don't know, actually, now that I'm thinking of it, I don't know if he's actually part of that, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Stephen Baldwin is in this movie. Brain, remember. Okay. He is wearing a fantastic layered look of necklaces where he has, actually, let me pull up the picture so I can describe it better. He's wearing three necklaces, which we are encouraged to do at my job so that we can sell people more necklaces.
That's so, like... I feel like that's so not trending today. I feel like that's so, like, 1999 to wear multiple necklaces.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but 1999 is big in fashion
right
now.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
So he's wearing, I don't know, that's not necessarily a puka shell necklace, but it's some kind of shells. And then he has a slightly longer necklace that has the name of his girlfriend in like little letter blocks on it. And then his third longer necklace is just a steel chain, like you would use to like lock up a bike, and complete with charms and everything. He's actually wearing a charm necklace that has a rabbit's foot, a bottle opener, a skull keychain, and an 8-ball keychain on it. And it made me laugh so hard.
I did. I only noticed the shell one. Thank you for pointing out all the other ones.
Yeah. Actually, I think all of the costumes, like the costumes in this, are one of the better
Yeah, that's true.
aspects of the film, like craft-wise. The scientists all have these like tan jumpsuits that they're wearing. And once Pauly Shore and Stephen Baldwin like commit to being part of the experiment and they decide to like buckle down and make this work, they paint their own jumpsuits, these like blue and green and yellow colors, and I love them a lot. I'm always looking for like a good pair of coveralls, and they are wearing some cool
I
coveralls.
didn't even notice that they made their own. I didn't notice. I got like checked out of this movie pretty fast. And every once in a while, I would like check back in.
Yeah. Did you see Stephen Baldwin's back handspring?
I don't know which part is it at. I think so.
It's towards the beginning, I think, like when they're tr when Pauly Shore is like about to hit him in the head with something so they can get out of going to that Earth Day
I
celebration.
did watch that part, but I don't remember a back handspring.
Yeah. There's another part where he makes like a threatening like wah! Like you know, like he's gonna do some martial arts, and it was captioned as martial arts yell. That made me laugh.
Where? Okay, I keep reading that Rose McGowan is in this. Where is Rose
Yeah.
McGowan?
She gives him the flyer for that party, like when they're like on campus to the girls
Oh, I do
after
remember
the
that
guys have
part. It
been.
must was it very fast?
It was very fast, and then she shows up again towards the end of the movie, I think. She's not in it a ton, though.
Tenacious D makes their on-screen debut in this movie, and they're cute in it.
They're
They
always
sing a
cute,
little
yeah.
song. They look cute and young. What's his name is in this? Help. He's great, and we've seen him in things before. Taylor Negron is in this.
Oh yeah, Taylor Negrin. He is one of like Amy Heckerling's preferred like bit players, so he shows up in small parts in like most of her movies, which is cool.
This is stop talking about this like it's an Amy Heckerling movie.
I just happened to mention it. That's all.
I feel like we've watched him in something before for the podcast.
Oh yeah, I'm
But
sure.
what was
He shows up
it?
in all sorts of
I
stuff.
know. He.
Oh, you know who else is in this? Bill Clinton's brother, Roger Clinton, the fuck up.
Really? Where?
When the girls come to the biodome to talk to the guys like through the glass, and then some guy like comes up to them and I feel like one of them signs his t-shirt. Like Joey Lauren
Yeah,
Adams
I
signs
vaguely
his
remember
t-shirt.
that.
Yeah, that was Roger Clinton.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking at who else was in this. Oh, Phil LaMarr is like a, not an extra, but
Oh, he was on Mad
like an extra guy.
TV. Yeah,
Yeah.
I remember him. What happened to Joey Lauren Adams?
She looks too much like Renee Zellweger, and there can only be one.
But she doesn't anymore, 'cause I feel like they must both look like wildly different now from how they used
Oh,
to.
I'm sure they do, but I think, like, you know, during their ingenue period, they just looked too much alike.
Like Renee
You know what I
Zellweger is
mean?
making her comeback.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe Joey Lauren Adams will make hers at some point.
'Cause I
I hope she
really
does. I
like
like her more.
up yeah, well, I like them both, but like I just really appreciate her ability to like yell at men, kind of, I think. I mean, because she's in all those Kevin Smith movies, and that was like often her role in them.
Yeah. I mean, that's her entire part in Chasing Amy. It's just like, what is wrong with you guys?
She didn't totally go away, but I haven't heard of any of these things that she's still in. Although I guess they're making another Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Oh, it looks like she's done like a lot of TV. Kylie Minogue, like I mentioned before, so tiny. She's like, everyone is like two heads taller than her when she's standing next to the scientists. Her character is named Petra von Kant, which is taken from a German movie called The Tears of Petra von Kant by Rainier Werner Fassbinder. And it's like this, I've not actually seen it because it's 2 hours long and in German, but it's like, I don't know, about this like fashion designer who has all of these relationships with women. But I, when they like introduced her character, I had to pause it and rewind it to make sure that that was actually her name. It made me laugh hard because it's just like such a weird reference for a movie
Very
like
weird.
this. Yeah. And then like one of the other scientists was named Faulkner, and then there was another one. Romulus, which was like the first king of Rome. So some weird character names in here. That are like, you know, smarter than what you would expect given the content of the rest of the movie.
And there's nothing like I wanted to like look up the like director and writer and be like, wow, they went on to make more spectacular garbage, or like, oh wow, they made that after this, but they're both like
No
really
one did.
unremarkable.
Yeah, no one did. Oh, you know who else was in this in a bit part is Patty Hearst. She plays Stephen Baldwin's mother. Or no. Wait, which one's Doyle? Doyle is Stephen Baldwin?
Yeah, Doyle is Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
And Bud is Polly Shore.
Yeah, directed by Jason Blum. Who hasn't? Oh my goodness! He directed 9 episodes of iZombie,
Yeah,
a show
he's
that I
like
love
a
very
he's a
much.
pretty successful t well he must work with Rob Thomas because also
Yeah, because
Veronica
he also did
Mars.
Veronica Mars. Yeah.
So like,
Interesting.
you know, I guess that's an improvement, but you know, nothing crazy.
Yeah. Okay. One of the writers, Adam Leff, worked on Last Action Hero, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, and PCU, which are both movies that I've seen. But yeah, his credits are very short. Did he die? I don't know.
It would say if he died.
Either died or just people were like, all of these movies are bad, go away. Yeah, next writer, very short. Okay, one of the guys credited with the screenplay has done a bunch of Grey's Anatomy. And the other guy, I've never heard of any of these movies that he's known for, except for Biodome. Interesting. I'm curious when this came out, like in the context of Pauly Shore's run in the 90s, because he had like a string of movies like In the Army Now and Encino Man and Son-in-Law and stuff. So this was,
I feel like this was the last one.
yeah, that's what I'm looking to see, because it very well might have been.
Yeah, I mean, this was like, it looks like this was like kind of the last movie that he was allowed to make.
Yeah, and then he did do a TV series called Polly, where he was the lead. Yeah, so let's see. Encino Man, I think, was the first. That was 92. Son-in-Law, 93. In the Army Now, 94. Goofy Movie, 95. Jury Duty, 95. Biodome, 96. Interesting.
What happens? Okay, so like in the land, like before streaming media, right? Movies could get released like straight to video or straight to DVD. What happens now?
Straight to VOD, video on
So,
demand.
like, is there a bunch of shitty movies just getting released that way now?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, look at all the shitty movies that Netflix puts out,
Yeah, but.
you know, or like the so-called Amazon Originals, where they just like buy
But.
other people's stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess I don't think of those as shitty as like a movie that would have gone direct to DVD in like the 90s or whatever. But maybe that's not true. I don't watch them, so.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that there are so many, you know, channels of distribution now that like didn't exist before, that stuff gets re you know, like people stuff put stuff on Vimeo and like all these like weird, although I think that's starting to
But like, well,
change
yeah, 'cause
now too,
like
but
when before streaming, like I don't know, just like VHS or DVD, like that's like one format. You would go to one place, for example, to like find those things, right? Like
I miss video stores.
it, yeah. but yeah, now it's like with something streaming, there's like so many different platforms it could get released on, like.
Yeah. Which on the one hand is great because so many like so it provides opportunities for so much stuff that otherwise wouldn't have gotten distribution in the past. But on the other hand, there's just so much shit that like it's very difficult to like get seen. Like even if you do get that distribution, to like actually get in front of people's eyeballs is like another thing entirely.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, you know, when it's physical media, like it exists in the physical world, whereas like so much of this stuff that's only being released in streaming, like when Netflix inevitably implodes under the weight of their like hundreds of millions of dollars of debt, like all of that program, all of their original programming is going to disappear forever, basically, unless they're able to like sell it off to someplace else. You know, or for example, like with Disney buying up everything, they can like pick and choose what they want to have streaming or like put things in the vault or whatever. So it's like I think the age of like incredible abundance, digital abundance that we've been lucky enough to experience in recent years, where we are getting all of this incredible programming that never would have gotten greenlit or distribution in the past. Like, I think that's starting to turn, and we're gonna go into some dark days, I think, going forward, which is unfortunate.
No, I think it's gonna get more messed up because all the big companies are now catching up to realizing that like they own their shit and like they shouldn't be giving their shit to like Hulu or Netflix, and so they're
Right.
all trying to do their own thing and they're gonna fucking ruin everything by doing that. But I think things will still keep finding a way. Good things will still keep finding a way, 'cause
Life finds a
they
way.
did even before this too.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, but the people have gotten really used to being able to watch whatever they want to watch whenever they want to watch it, and I think that's gonna be changing.
It's definitely, I mean, it's already so different than it was. Like it was so easy to just steal shit 10 years ago. I used to steal everything. And it's like, I mean, I stopped trying to do that, but like, because it started to get a lot harder. But that was like, I mean, we were just lucky. Like, it should have never been that way.
Yeah, that was kind of a fluke in like the lag time between the development of technology and the awareness of that tech awareness and like willingness to do something about that technology by these large corporations. 'Cause for so long, like so many of the major networks were like, we're not gonna stream anything. Fuck you, you know? And then people started going other places for stuff, and then they had to play catch up.
I had
Yeah,
to
I mean, it's.
download, so I'm obsessed with The Good Place. It's one of my favorite things that I've ever seen. I watch it over and over and over again. I can't wait for it to come back. It makes my heart so happy. But so NBC released like all these mini episodes for The Good Place this week, and I had to download the app to watch them on my phone. Like I could, maybe there's another way to watch them, but I couldn't figure out what it was if there was one. And so I had to download their terrible app and just like navigating it. Like they're lucky I love this show as much as I do, because navigating it to just watch these 6 2-minute episodes like was a nightmare.
I hate
A
that.
nightmare. Like it was so bad.
Yeah, nothing makes me angrier than like poor user experiences.
Yeah, I mean,
Like, it doesn't have to be this way.
especially from a company that has the money and then in theory should be able to hire the brains to make it a
Oh,
good
that they
user
have
experience, and they just
like,
don't.
yeah, like infinite resources behind NBC Universal or whatever it's called now. I don't know, like whatever conglomerate it is. Yeah, they absolutely have the resources to make an app that not only works but is like easy and not an absolute nightmare to use. And I just don't understand.
I
Like,
mean,
I don't
I think
understand
part of it
why.
is because like based like I so like because of one of my past jobs, I got like a very small window into this, and this was like many, many years ago. But like from that very small window, like what I saw was like kind of like an unwillingness to look outside of your own company. Like if, you know, the person who is the best at making this app happen or whatever probably doesn't already work for NBC. Like, you're gonna have to go to people who are smarter than you, and you're gonna have to pay them a lot of money, and you're gonna have to trust them and believe that they're smarter than you, even if maybe the boss person does not understand anything that they're talking about. And like, it seems like both like an unwillingness to do that, and also like, too many cooks, you know, like when you're working in a big ass company, there's just too many
Always too
cooks
many
always.
cooks.
Yeah. And that really ruins everything. And that's, you know, just based on my limited experience of what I saw, I definitely saw that happen somewhere.
Absolutely. And you also put your finger on something else, which is that the people, the so-called decision makers, the people who are making choices about how budgets get made and how money gets spent, are not do not have the technical aptitude to even remotely understand what someone is pitching them when they're
No,
talking
and then
about,
like, and so then that also means they one have to be smart enough, and like every good boss should be able to do this, but so many of them can't or don't, like be smart
Well, because so
enough
many people get
to,
promoted beyond their level of
well,
like
but no,
competency.
but like that's okay, you can be incompetent, I don't care, but if you're incompetent, you have to be able to be like, hey, I'm sure that I don't know this. Let's get someone who does. But so then on top of having to be able to do that, you have to be able to bring in the right person,
The
and to
right
even though
people.
you're
It's important.
dumb, you have to have some way to know that these people are the right people, besides just the people being like, I'm the right person for this, because everybody's gonna say that because they want a job and they want to work and they probably think they're really smart too. And so it just gets like so complicated so fast.
And the process of app development, or even like redesigning a website. I've worked for so many companies for like years where they're like, working on the website, we're working on a new website, the new website, we're working on this new website, and like it never launches because, again, too many cooks. But then also just like the like and building an app is even more complicated than a website. Like, and there are a lot of people and companies out there who are full of shit and are kind of just scamming people because they know that they can say a bunch of technical words and kind of get away with not really delivering on that because no one knows what they're talking about. It drives me nuts. Like, the user experience on the like in-car interface, like digital interface in Toyotas is so bad. Like, and it's been so bad for years, and I don't understand why. Like, why they haven't hired somebody to just like make a touch interface that isn't terrible.
Weird. I've
How?
never even
Why?
like really been in a car for long enough with a touch interface to like even know what you're
Yeah.
talking about.
Well, I think in like 2011, maybe 2012, my mom got a new, I forget which, car it was, and I was like trying to use the GPS and was just like, what the actual fuck? And then I got a Prius in 2014, and it's still bad. And then I was in like another new Toyota recently, somebody else's car, and was like, you mean to tell me this is still bad in 2019? How is this possible?
Because it doesn't, well, first of all, like, it doesn't, like, why would it matter to them? You're gonna buy the car anyway. Like,
Right.
it's not like we have so many choices that, do you know,
Yeah.
like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I think also, like, circling back to app development, like we were talking about, it's more complicated by the fact that it's more than just developing for the iPhone, like they're developing for iOS or developing for Android. They maybe are developing for Windows phones. I don't even know if those still exist, and like then within that have to, create something that works on all of this different hardware, which is complicated. Technology is complicated, but it doesn't have to be bad to use. And
Yes.
it so often is.
I mean, I've officially like I'm officially like in the phase of like kids younger than me will talk about something and I'm like, "Can you explain that to me? I have no idea what you're talking about." And like I'll try to be doing something with my phone and I'll be like, "Look, I'm sure I can figure this out, but like I'm sure you're much smarter at this. Can you
Yeah, I
please
just
help
don't have
me?"
the
Like
patience for it anymore.
yeah.
Yeah. Getting old is hard, especially when like the rate of technology continues to carry on. And I don't know if in human history we've ever had something that holds up such a mirror to our like mortality than like the forward advancement of technology. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm missing anything, honestly, by not catching up with it right now. Like that might change eventually.
Well, it'll change when you've tuned out enough that like you've missed some giant leap and everything is unusable to you now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe just like slowly, bit by bit, it becomes more and more foreign to you. I don't like it. I find it very disturbing as a person who's generally good with technology to like find myself being like, not only do I not know where to start with this, but I don't have the patience anymore to press a bunch of buttons and figure it out.
Well, I think that's part of it too, is like
Yeah.
currently I just don't have a reason to,
Yeah.
you know, it's like it's not
Of
required at
course.
my job. It's not, it just, I have no reason to. But I still have faith that like if for some reason I had to make a big change, I would be able to. So I'm worried about it.
Well, that's good. I think also, like, the older we get, the more we realize, like, how precious time is and how valuable our time is and how we don't have a ton of it, like an unlimited amount of it left in our lives. So it's like, why would I want to spend it, getting frustrated
Yeah.
by this stupid little device that I don't even want to be using?
I'm just like I can't remember if we've talked about this on air before while we were recording. Like, I'm just waiting for the like push in the other direction. And this is partially because I'm in Vermont, but like I'm just waiting for the push of people who are like, "Fuck all this, go hug trees." You
Yeah.
know, like
Well, that is always happening. I mean, that's like, there's always like an undercurrent of that, and I think that the pendulum swings between those two extremes of like, isn't technology great? And then like, technology is terrible and it's ruining everything. And we just kind of like, go back and forth between those two things. So, but yeah, it's definitely more prevalent in Vermont,
Yes.
where everyone's like, fuck this, I'm gonna go hug a tree. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. I just, I think that moderation in either direction is important. Not too much technology and not too much of being a Luddite either. Because technology isn't all bad. It's brought us many wonderful things, like the fact that we get to talk to each other remotely every couple weeks and put out this dumb
Yeah,
podcast.
that's really
Thanks,
cool.
technology. Yeah, it's amazing. Or the fact that like my brain is so broken and full of holes, and yet I can still almost function like a normal human being because I can offload a bunch of stuff into my phone and have it at my fingertips at all times
Yeah.
instead of just, trying to function with a Swiss cheese brain. So that's helpful.
Do you know what you need to watch if you haven't already? Unbelievable.
What's that?
Oh my God. Okay. So, it's based on a true story, which I took me a whole episode to be like, where have I heard this before? I know what's going to happen. How do I know what's going to happen? Well, it started as a ProPublica article and then was in This American Life episode, which is where I heard it. So it's a story of a serial rapist
Oh, fun.
who was really, really smart and would only commit a crime one time in every county or like area. So he was able to like bop around for a really long time because police departments don't talk to each other. And so he raped this one woman who had had like a really troubled life, in and out of foster care, had been abused, whatever. And the police who handled her case handled it so poorly.
Oh,
And that
shocking.
they basically talked her into retracting her statement because they couldn't find any evidence to prove that she was telling the truth. And what it really
Yeah, clearly
was,
she's an unreliable
yeah,
narrator.
and what it really was that this guy was just so good that he didn't leave behind any evidence. And they were just so shit at their jobs that they ruined this poor girl who was already ruined. So it follows her, the series follows her, but then like 5 years later, maybe less than 5 years, these two women cops in Colorado, like just by chance, realized that they were both chasing this guy because he was in Washington and moved on to Colorado and started working together, and they catch him eventually. And so the series
Nice.
follows both this poor girl and then also follows these cops, years later, like putting it all together. And one of the cops is played by, oh my God, what's her name? Toni Collette. And then the other cop is played by this woman whose name I don't remember and did never heard of before, but they are both incredible. And it's all, written, directed, produced by women. The person who wrote the original article and did the original reporting, I think, was still involved. So, like, it's not like it represents like rape and like the police work of it in a way that I've never seen before, and it's incredible. It's
Yeah, I'm
stressful,
looking at
like.
the cast right now.
It's
This
a
is kind of amazing.
lot. It's a lot, and I don't think it's for
Yeah.
everybody because like I can handle shit like
Where did
this.
you watch it?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It's like 8 episodes.
Yeah.
I didn't finish yet. I'm like halfway through. But it's
Is it
just,
Merritt Weaver who plays the other
yeah,
cop?
that sounds right.
I love
I've
her.
never
She's
seen
so
her in
good.
anything. She's incredible.
Oh, she's really good. She was on Nurse Jackie. She was in that Netflix Western show that I got really mad about because they said it was
Yeah,
about
yeah,
a town
yeah.
without men
I
and it
remember
was
that.
entirely about men.
Yeah.
But she played a really badass character in that. I like her. She's cool. She's also in that movie Charlie Says, which is one of the three movies about the Manson murders that came out this year, but the one that's like actually about the women. But I haven't seen that yet, but it's supposed to be good. Yeah, I will check this out. It's not usually what I would like to spend my time thinking about, but that sounds very good and well executed,
Yeah, I mean, listen.
which is what matters.
Listen to the This American Life episode too. It's like it's nuts.
I may have heard that episode, but I'll listen to it again. That's how Ted Bundy got away with it for so long too. He had actually like worked for the police department and realized that jurisdictions weren't communicating at all, and was able to like exploit the knowledge that he gained through being part of this like anti-crime task force to then, be a serial murderer.
Yeah.
And he also realized that, like, oh, wow, people don't care about women. Cool, so I can target them. Oh
That's, I
boy.
mean, that's one of like the really, really like men. I mean, honestly, men should have to watch this series. Like women, like we know, but like to see the really stark difference between the two ways that the victims are treated, like first by these like dumbass dude cops. Not that like a dude cop can be great at treating rape victims, but like
Yeah, look
they
at
had
Elliot Stabler,
zero
a man who doesn't
training
actually
in how to
exist.
handle
Yeah.
something like this, and didn't seek help either. And
Right.
then so then to see the stark difference between that and these two other women who have a lot of experience in dealing with these cases and really handle it in a such a different way, like is just like everybody should have to see that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my recommendation for this episode. I didn't
My
even like mean to
recommendation.
start watching it. I just can't stop now.
Oh wow. That's a very strong
I was
endorsement,
just like,
especially from you who like
yeah,
doesn't watch much other than The Good
exactly.
Place.
Like, I just was like wanting to watch something before bed one night, and it was like there, like Netflix. It was, you know, when they put up something like right on top of the screen. So I was like,
Yeah.
okay, sure. Like, I'll just, you know, hit play and kind of like zone out. But I hit play and zoned in so hard, and like stayed up too late watching it. Like,
Wow.
so that's how good it is.
Yeah. My recommendation, I have two. One of which is Fosse Verdon, which finally was added to Hulu. It's a mini series starring Sam Rockwell and Michelle fucking Williams, who is
Oh,
absolutely
yeah. I wanted to see
incredible as Bob
that.
Fosse and Gwen Verdon. Truly fantastic.
Okay.
So good. I
I
mean,
have a
well,
question.
every time, and Joey said this too, like every time Michelle Williams is on screen, it's like incredible. And then when she's not, it's like, I liked that. Bring that back. Do her again, but yeah, no, I loved it. It's really good. Not enough dancing, but there never
That was
is.
kind of my question.
Yeah, I mean, there still is plenty of dance in it, but it's such a, for so long we've gotten all of these biopics about, these genius men, whether they were assholes or not, and so rarely get to see the long-suffering women who enabled their careers and were their creative partners, if not the ones doing most or all of the work, and so to be able to see something where you do get to see both sides of that equation, and the heartbreak of how much Gwen Verdon gave up for him, in order for him to, achieve his goals. It's truly heartbreaking because she was clearly the more talented one of the two, but whatever. Michelle Williams is incredible. Give her all of the awards, all of the parts. And then my other recommendation is my forever recommendation of Designing Women, which I'm now on like the sixth season after like 2 weeks of binge watching. It's so good. It's like, it's just so good and so. As infuriating as it is to see that we're still dealing with so many of these issues 25 years later, it's also like very comforting just to see women on screen talking about this stuff and being funny and smart and stupid and goofy and gross and weird and just what a great show. Now available on Hulu.
Oh, who's really doing it for you this time, huh?
Yeah, so shockingly, because I don't usually watch Hulu that much, so they're really earning their $7 this month,
I like
or however much it.
am poor, so I went through and like saw looked at what I could cancel, and like that Hulu was like one of the ones I looked at, and but they attached it to Spotify now, so like I pay
They did
so little for those two services. I was like, oh, I can't cancel, like
that promotion for a limited time, and
oh,
I
you can't
had
still do it?
no, because I had
Oh
bundled mine, and
no.
then when I ran out of money because somebody that I worked for totally fucked me over, my Spotify account was suspended, and then when I reinstated it, I couldn't
That
also
sucks
do Hulu, so
so
now I have to pay for them
bad.
separately. Yeah, it does suck.
I mean, it's, you know,
The
I
thing that
can't
sucked
believe they
more
bundled
was,
it together. It's like too, like it's so cheap. I how did they even do that?
No, I asked somebody who worked for Spotify. I was like, "What is their business, like, their business model exactly? How are they making money? I don't understand this because it doesn't like the it doesn't add up that you can pay ten like e take out Hulu from the equation that you can pay $10 a month and listen to anything you want at any time."
Well, they don't pay the artists anything, I believe. So,
Do a little bit now, you know,
okay,
not nearly as much
great.
as they should, but that also they just opened this huge office in the New World Trade Center building because they had had offices all over New York City. Like they have so many employees in New York City that they were like located in all of these different locations, and now they're all in one place. That was, you know, God only knows how many millions of dollars. Yeah, no, it just, and they're, because it's a Swedish company, their benefits are really crazy. So I don't understand, you know, how the money works, but whatever. That's not my problem.
Nope.
But I can't imagine that it will last for very long either. Oh, you know what else I finally saw? 20, 25 years later, Dante's Peak, which as a 10-year-old, I was like both obsessed with and terrified by volcanoes. So when that movie came out, I like had to go see it, and I got so freaked out by the opening sequence. And then there's this scene where this couple is in a hot springs, and then it boils them to death. I got so freaked out by that that I like barfed in the aisle of the movie theater and had to go home.
Oh no.
Yeah, but I finally saw it after 22 years.
I definitely really liked it in 1999 when I saw it like 100 times, but I haven't seen it since then.
It's okay. Like Linda Hamilton is in it, and they really underutilize what a badass she is, you know.
When it's like
But that's fine because the new
peak.
Terminator movie is coming out
Oh,
soon,
I'm
and I am so
so
pumped about
excited.
that.
I'm
Yes.
so excited. It's like peak Pierce Brosnan too.
Oh, peak sexy Pierce Brosnan. He's all like rugged in it. Yeah, he's really hot in it. But I mean, it was satisfying. You know, it wasn't like I waited all these years for that. The dog was okay. I was happy about that because I thought that the dog might have died. You know, so all good things. Anything else?
Nah.
Okay, well then, that does it for this episode of Wistful Thinking. That does it for September episodes of Wistful Thinking, or do we have another one?
I think this is it.
Yeah, which means
Spooky
that our next
times.
episode starts spooky time. So excited about that. Stay tuned for October for us to get spooky, watch some more horror movies. This is kind of turning into a horror podcast, and I'm totally fine with that. I feel like we've done more horror movies than anything else, possibly.
Because they're more fun to watch than other movies a lot of
I
times.
agree. I agree. So anyway, Jordan, if people wanted to find you, where would they look?
I am on Instagram at JordoPC.
And I'm also on Instagram, but don't worry about it. I don't want to be found. Just leave me
Don't
there
even tell
to,
them, just lie. You're not
you
even
know.
on there.
I am living under a rock. Okay, we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.